This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Josh here.
And Rishi, and we wanted to let you know about a new emergency podcast miniseries called Home Cooking to help you cook and help keep you company during these quarantine times.
Rishi has teamed up with his pal Samin Nosrat, a chef and author and the host of the great Netflix show Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, based on her best-selling cookbook of the same name.
Samin and I are taking calls from people around the world who need help figuring out what to make with the ingredients they've got in their pantries and fridges. And we're talking to some friends along the way, and in the first episode, we're joined by Josh.
Hooray! And we wanted to play you that part of the episode right here. But remember, this is just an excerpt. Go subscribe to Home Cooking in your podcast app or go to homecooking.show.
Okay, here's our segment with Josh. So, Samin, I wanted us to talk to my old friend Josh Molina, who is an actor on The West Wing and Scandal and Sports Night. You've seen him in lots of things. He was the co-host of The West Wing Weekly with me, and he posted these incredible-looking latkes.
His Twitter latkes?
His Twitter latkes, yeah. And for anybody who doesn't know, a latke is a potato pancake that gets made traditionally at Hanukkah, and Josh posted some on Twitter, and they look amazing.
They looked so good.
And so we asked him if he would come and talk to us about that.
When it comes to my latkes, you can ask anything. I've always been candid about my latkes, and I shall remain so.
Josh, are these quarantine-inspired latkes?
Yes. I mean, I found myself with some potatoes, an onion. I've always got matzo meal, and I had oil, canola in this case, baking powder. I like when I can figure out what I've got and what I can do with it. I also have both. I've got all my chickens home. I've got my daughter and my son home. They both enjoy latkes. So it was a little bit of a revelation, like, oh, I can make this. Also, in the great Jewish tradition of doing something and then figuring out what the meaning is, it occurred to me that we're in a time when we're trying to make the most out of what we've got. And Hanukkah, the sort of central miracle or story, is that a small amount of oil lasted for 8 days. So I've decided, once I made it, oh, wait a minute. Here's the meaning. This is the most appropriate thing to make right now, even though it's not Hanukkah or anywhere near it, because I'm hoping all our food will last longer than one would expect for all of us.
Okay, wait. I need to know more about this recipe.
Sure.
And the source of this recipe. Well, first of all, I have to say I'm so impressed by how stained it is.
Thank you.
And how annotated it is.
Right, because you didn't just tweet a picture of your latkes, you also posted a picture of your own copy of the recipe that has your handwritten notes on top of it.
That's true, but now I'm going to be, and I realize I really didn't do my research here because I should be able to, I'm going to text my mom while we're talking because I think she can tell me from what source that recipe comes. It's clearly some Jewish-y recipe book.
Well, yes, it also says the word milchiki, which I don't know what that means.
Milchik, yeah, okay. Well, there's milchik and fleishik, which is Yiddish for milchik being dairy, any milk product, fleishik being meat. Never the twain shall meet if one is an observant Jew.
Got it.
So somebody saw my recipe and said, hey, here's what you do. You eat these with corned beef and Swiss cheese. And I was like, that might work for you. Not going to happen in my house.
I'm just going to read some of the notes that I see on here. It says potato latkes and then in parentheses pancakes. And underneath, the annotation for the potatoes is to grate it on the large side of the grater.
Yes.
But it says grate, L-R-G-E.
Oh, did I write the L-R-G-E?
I don't know. Some mom did or you did. It's amazing. It's kind of an abbreviation, but almost the entire word, just missing a vowel. And then
I found a shortcut, people, and I'm happy to share it with you.
And then I like one small onion grated, optional, and you put a check mark, which means I definitely have to use it.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose I should have just, I could have scratched out optional, but I wanted future generations to have choice and to have some agency in their latke making.
Although that didn't stop you from crossing out flour. in the options between using flour or matzo meal, you went ahead and crossed that one out and circled matzo meal.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. So I guess I'm more emphatic about certain aspects of the recipe than others.
And then you posted a picture of the latkes as they're cooking. And I have to say, they are very evenly spaced in the pan. And I would say, as a cooking teacher, I'm really proud. You did a really nice job of spacing them out in the oil.
Thank you. I'm not generally the most zen. Well, I'm not the most zen anything, but I'm not the most zen cook. And giving each latke its own space means that I have to cook more batches.
Which is a pain.
I'm the kind of person who would normally try to make it just all at once if possible, but that doesn't work. Latkes also need to be socially distanced from each other. That's what I'm trying to say. And that is why I chose to make latkes.
How did you guys eat them?
We've gone a couple ways about it. I was disappointed to find that I hadn't laid away any applesauce. We were out of applesauce, so that option was gone. Sour cream I had, so people have been eating them with sour cream. And then this morning, just moments ago, I fried an egg and put it over latkes for my daughter. And that was a successful experiment we haven't done before.
That's one I love. And then the other really important pressing question is, from where does this quote, "they will want to make from latkes alone a meal," come?
It's from the recipe. It says below, note, this recipe should serve 4 to 6 people. This is not 4 to 6 Molinas, but 4 to 6 regular people. But when some people see potato latkes, they act like they haven't eaten for a week. They will want to make from latkes alone a meal. When you have people enjoy so much, so you won't mind grating potatoes all day long.
I love that.
So it's a Jewish inflected note at the very end.
Well, that with some detective work, then I have determined that the source of the recipe is the book Love and Knishes by Sarah Kasdan.
Oh, bless you.
From 1956.
There you go. It's a classic.
The last part of the quote from the book says, "You won't mind grating potatoes all day long." Do you mind grating potatoes all day long? Because for me, that feels daunting.
There are a couple hacks. First of all, there's, of course, using a Cuisinart or some sort of machine to grate your potatoes. I don't think you get the same quality latke unless you grate by hand.
Like, you got to feel the blood, the sweat, the pain.
Exactly, right. Some people say human skin is the one ingredient that's not listed. But that,
agreed, yeah.
That is key to the flavor profile. And then I read a hack that I did try a couple times this past Hanukkah, which is to buy frozen hash browns. And
does it work?
I tried it. I have to say, again, not nearly as good, but in a pinch, or if they've, you know, it saves a lot of time and it's not a bad hack. I still go with the hand grating, but in a pinch, it's not a bad way to do it. And someone might have that in their freezer right now.
And also, I wonder, do you subscribe to the make a lot of latkes, fry them up, freeze them, and then heat them up in a skillet to eat later? Are you in that camp?
Absolutely, I am. And during high season, I will make enormous batches of latkes and I will freeze. Unfortunately, we were down to our last 5 potatoes with this one. So no freezing to be done this time around.
Also, one important thing that we didn't, I'm staring at this photo, which I'm just so impressed by.
Thank you.
But one very important thing that we didn't cover, which I would love for you to talk about instead of me, is the appropriate amount of oil to use.
I feel like I should be an expert on this, but I'm not sure that I am.
No, you're using the right amount of oil in that pan. So like how?
I do it by eye. I guess I pour an amount. I really want to get this right. I feel like things are going so well. I don't want to blow it at the end.
This is your tryout for your home cooking network show. So
I think I put in an amount of oil that doesn't quite cover each latke.
To me, I think the way I would describe what I see in this pan is A, knowing that oil will expand as it cooks and as it sizzles, you know, it's going to rise up in the pan and you don't want overflow because that's like a disaster. But you definitely, whenever you're pan frying anything, or this is called shallow frying because it's not completely submerged in oil. Mm-hmm. My key is always you want to go more than halfway, because otherwise what happens is you get this like dreaded ring of raw, like potato or breadcrumb or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this way you're making sure that it's more than half submerged so that it's getting completely golden fried. And people don't really love using a lot of oil. They're really freaked out usually by things like that involve a lot of oil. So I encourage, and I encourage you to encourage people to use a lot of oil.
Yes. Okay. Everything you said is what I meant to say when you originally asked me the question. Yeah. No, it takes a lot of oil for sure. And the big bummer is knowing that later I'm going to have to like pour it into cans and jars to get rid of it instead of down my sink. But such is the commitment you make.
You can just remember how delicious the latke tasted as you're funneling it into.
That's exactly right. Well, let me ask you this. I have a weird habit. I don't even know why I do it, but as they're cooking and they are largely covered, but not 100%, I sometimes with my spatula, I kind of make little waves to cover the tops of them again.
I don't think that's bad. I think you're just encouraging browning, which is great.
Yes.
Yeah. Because to me, what you've really nailed in the picture on the little pan to the left with the dried or the fully cooked ones, they're completely browned. I think browning is flavor in pretty much everything. And, you know, that's the difference between like an undercooked latke and a perfectly browned one is you're just going to have so much more dimension and complexity, and it's going to be so exciting. And so that's the thing is when we eat, we as humans are kind of programmed to really enjoy both textural contrast and temperature contrast, which is why like that cold dollop of sour cream on the hot, crispy latke is so good because it's cold and hot. It's creamy and crispy. The latke itself is crispy on the outside, but then like the potatoes on the inside, if you've done it right, are soft and creamy and sort of fall apart on your tongue. And you're getting a ton of different experiences in one bite.
Wow. You know, maybe I've been watching you too much, but I have a Pavlovian response to your voice now, and I start salivating.
I want to give a shout out to a possible compliment to your latkes, Josh, which is a recent purchase that I made, jalapeno ketchup.
Ooh.
Oh, that kind of compliment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. With two E's. Got it. I was
waiting for something positive, some positive feedback.
I thought you were going to say they made me look thin. All right.
That too. I saw it on the shelf and I got it in the spirit of my dad. It's my dad, the food scientist, always trying to get me to try something that I've never gotten before. I got this jalapeno ketchup and I love it. I had it with some tater tots. And I just think if you get a chance to get your hands on some, try that with your latkes next time.
I am not averse to a non-traditional condiment, so I will give it a shot.
Excellent. You are a reform.
Not orthodox.
This is actually the reconstructionist approach to latkes.
Thank you for helping me workshop that joke, because I definitely could not make it on my own.
What else are you cooking at home, Josh? What you cooking?
I have an Instant Pot. I made black beans with chilies and then a sort of tomato puree that I made in my blender separately with cilantro and some garlic. And then I blended that into the beans once they were done from the Instant Pot. And that was a big hit. We ate those with tortillas and cheese and lettuce and olives and rice.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm not the fanciest cook, but I good staples, hearty staples. That's my thing.
Fancy's overrated.
Fair enough.
Josh, what do you do? What does your family do?
For a living? Nothing currently.
What do you do about the ensuing fartiness from the black beans?
Let it rip. We have a let it rip philosophy here at the Molina household. I might actually have to write that into the corner of my bean recipe.
Oh, yeah. You should definitely annotate.
Yeah. Yet another reason to stay at least 6 feet away from each other at all times.
Josh, thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was fun. Remember when we used to have a podcast?
I think I'm going to try making some and then putting them out on the stoop. Because you can't really eat latkes by yourself, no matter what that lady says.
That's right. I agree.
If people want to see these beautiful latkes, you can find them on Josh's Twitter. He's at Josh Molina. And you should be following him on there anyway. He is a master of the form.
Oh, you're a good man. Thank you for that compliment with an eye. Thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
Thanks for joining us, and happy cooking and eating to you guys.
I think you'll agree. I was very good.
You were very good. Thank you. It was really nice to have an excuse to talk to you outside of just doing ads with you.
It was so much fun. I can't tell you how much that was a highlight thus far of my self-quarantine.
For me, too. Plus, in addition to Josh, we've got Zach McNeese and Margaret Miller working on the show behind the scenes.
Hooray!
So it really feels like there's West Wing Weekly in the home cooking DNA.
We got the band back together in a way.
Yeah.
So go subscribe to Rishi and Samin's podcast. Do it now. You'll get some ideas for the kitchen, and also you'll just have a great time hanging out with them. And you can send in your questions, too. Go to homecooking.show to find out how and to subscribe to the show. And also, if you haven't yet, go listen to Rishi's other new podcast, Partners. It's also spectacular.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this clip, and I hope you'll enjoy the rest of the series, too.
Okay.
Okay.
What's next?
Radiotopia. From PR.